children. What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to Mask's weekly radio show on Family Matters. Mask, mothers and fathers aligned, saving kids, kids of all ages and all stages for all mental health struggles, including addiction. If you know somebody that needs a referral for a therapist, a inpatient or outpatient program, please give us a call at 718-758-0400. We also offer Zoom parenting groups. We have on Monday night, Dr. Debbie Ackman. On Tuesday night, Dr. Shmuel Brachfeld. On Wednesday night, Rabbi Dr. Bencion Twersky. We also are offering to divorced parents male group in on Zoom. It's called Brother to Brother, where we have divorced dads. We have a divorced dads alienation group. We have a single moms five towns group in person with Harriet Cabelli. We have in Crown Heights, Dr. Miriam Gross, in Flatbush, Dr. Trisha Tia, and in the Five Towns, Cheryl Friedman in person. So if anyone wants to connect with a group, please call us at 718-758-0400 to register. Remember, all calls are kept strictly confidential. Tonight, I'm very happy, honored, and then some to have on with us a dear friend, a colleague, somebody that really puts her heart and soul into every case that she helps, and that is Malki Revidson, Malki Spira, who's a therapist who's licensed in New York and New Jersey, and she specializes in struggles and issues with complex trauma, OCD, anxiety, depression, relationships, intimacy. But she really, complex trauma is Revidson Spira's specialty. And she uses many different modalities that she's been trained in. And I want to welcome you on tonight. How are you, Revidson?
Thank you. Quite well. And I'm always wonderful when I'm on this program with you, Ruchama, and taking part in your work, because it is community service at its best.
Well, so thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Revidson, tonight's conversation is about forgiveness. And forgiveness is so many different things for so many different people. But I want to connect it to trauma, trauma-based could be, you know, something happening from one person to the next, a teacher to a student, a friend to a friend, a parent or a child to each other. So let's talk about, and then trauma could be something really bigger and huge. And I feel that before we talk about forgiveness, I'd like you to discuss the different kinds of trauma and what it can do to one's body and soul.
such an important question around such a relevant topic for this time of the year. But one thing we know is that greater lifetime stress, right, the level of severity of stress in the person's life impacts on a person's mental health and on their physical well-being. So it's not only emotional health that stress can impact on, but it's actually whether a person suffers from eczema or a heart condition or emphysema or diabetes or an inability to sleep at night from insomnia. Physical expressions of stress in the life, as a, in addition to complex trauma, trauma that PTSD that we can't move past, stress is going to impact on everything. So when we think of when we feel distress because of something that someone else has done that harmed us, and we all know how that kind of cooks within us, if we don't find a way to release that, then it's like a pressure cooker cooking and percolating and agitating within us. It needs a place of release. And very often that's going to end up expressing itself either in symptoms of complex trauma, in symptoms of anxiety, depression, in symptoms of insomnia or forgetfulness, distractedness, and also all those other medical issues. So we certainly want to understand, how can we bring down the distress of living life with other people who will unintentionally or intentionally cause tremendous pain? And we're walking around with that pain. And I think in that context, it's what could forgiveness do to help us so that the traumatic impact of painful, painful interpersonal experiences don't turn into a toxic force within us that end up expressing themselves either negatively impacting our mental health or our physical health.
Well, thank you. And can you speak a little bit about the wonderful book called The Body Keeps the Score, how important it is for everyone to read that, that it is struggling with trauma or painful physical experiences?
Yes, The Body Keeps the Score. That book is something, perhaps, Rahama, we one time have a discussion just about that. It's important that people recognize that there are two different parts of our brain. We tend to think of the brain as one organ, but it's really more a three-part organ, or three organs, one on top of another, that interface, kind of like the heart, the lungs are sitting on the heart, is sitting on the digestive system. And when we talk about the body holding the score, what we're saying is the second part of the brain, the midbrain, holds memories of all traumatic experiences and reacts to them in an emotional way. Now, there is a key difference between emotions and feelings. Emotions are pre-programmed, designed to help us survive, and they come up. They may be fear, right? We talk about fight, flight, and freeze that come up in response to fear. That's really all happening on the subconscious level. Emotions turn into feelings when we feel them, when they actually filter up to the top of our brain, to the prefrontal cortex that's conscious, that we can think about it and suffer and struggle it. But all of the experiences that we have are saved in the middle part of the brain together with our danger alert system. So if something brings up a memory and it doesn't quite hit our conscious mind, the danger system might turn on and flood us with chemicals that should save us. That's fight, flight, and freeze, adrenaline and cortisol, and our body holds the score. It just takes action. It would take that action if our prefrontal cortex, the top of our brain, was totally disconnected. And it does that in animals, right? So to recognize that if there's something stored back there and you don't bring it to the forefront and process it in your thinking brain and learn how to calm and soothe yourself, then you will suffer mental and physical stress responses. So like you say, Rahama, everything comes back to recognizing that in the non-conscious part of our brain, just the automatic brain, that's what we refer to as the body. It's just in our body and holds that memory and it reacts unless we learn how to calm and soothe it.
Thank you for explaining that. So, Robertson, forgiveness. Let's get right to it. It's hard for some people to let go of pain and suffering that somebody maybe caused them. So first, let's talk about what is forgiveness.
Yes. What forgiveness is and what it isn't.
And what it isn't.
Yeah, because sometimes people think, oh, if that's forgiveness, I can't do it. So we could do both parts of that. What is forgiveness and what it isn't, so that you know that you don't have to go there. So basically, I mean, the dictionary definition of forgiveness is to cease to feel resentment against an offender. It's just like that's the plain dictionary definition, that I no longer should resent something that you did that hurt me. Yeah. And if we try to broaden that a little, because it's important to get clarity here. It's a concept that's very poorly understood and it's really hard to do. So the first step is having clarity in what we're talking about. And the reason why it's so important, really so compelling for us, is because the mental and physical health benefits are so clear. There's so much research on it. The mental and physical health benefits of being able to let that toxic stress go and forgive is something that we all want. So if we think about what it is, I'd say, first of all, someone hurt you. So you're bearing a grievance. Being able to let go of that judgment that you hold against someone who hurt you, and you don't continue to kind of agitate about it, connect to the wound, and let your attention be stuck there. I'm thinking my husband parked someplace and the neighbor felt that he didn't leave enough space for his car to be able to pull out of his driveway. And the next morning my husband comes and finds a garbage bag on the windshield, and the guy had broken the front, you know, the windshield of the car, right? So something like that, it kind of takes over your brain and you're saying, what? He had plenty of room to get out, and it holds your attention. It ties you up. How could he do that? He really owes me that money. That was disgusting. And it's hard to say, take that grievance and, oh, let's just move past it, because we want the physical and mental health benefits that come from forgiving and moving on. So just first of all, understanding, what is it that I'm looking for? I'm saying that original wound when this person broke the window and the window shield, and it's going to cost us quite a bit. But it's not even so much the cost. It's like, how could you do that? I wasn't even blocking you, but you just want a wide berth. You want to let go of that. You don't want your attention to keep pulling back as if some magnet is holding you there. It means, forgiveness means accepting the reality of what happened and finding a way to make peace with the situation, finding a way to resolution in your own heart so that you can go on productively with your life and not be trapped in that experience that happened. And I think, Ruhama, one of the most important things about what forgiveness is why you're doing it. It's like for your own benefit. You really want to free yourself from resentment, from pain, from overabsorption with that past. You want to let go of that so that you can live your life fully in the present.
So, but not everybody understands that. And there are people that have anger management issues before they even got into some, you know, negative relationship with somebody. Yeah. So I think a lot of people need to work on themselves first to understand what they do, you know, what their reactions are in general, what their MO is.
Yes. Yes.
Before they can understand how to forgive.
Yes. And I think it helps because it really is hard. Like you feel your insides shaking, your body is holding it. chances are that if you've had a strong feeling like that in the past, you're going to get an emotional flashback, which means without being consciously aware of the narrative of the story that's connected to that feeling that you had in past experiences of feeling hopeless or helpless or unworthy is going to come up and just flood you. That's what an emotional flashback is. So knowing that forgiveness is really hard, but first of all, know that it doesn't mean that you're pardoning the person. You're not excusing their actions. You're not pardoning them. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't or can't have more feelings around the situation. It doesn't mean there's nothing further that you might be able to work out. Let's say it's with a spouse or a neighbor. And it doesn't mean you should forget what happened. There's no need to forget because you might even find value to what you experienced and how you grew from it. And I think when people have anger management problems or difficulty forgiving, sometimes it's because they think, oh, this means I'm just letting it go and walking away. I'm not such a righteous person. I'm not such a tzaddik. They really hurt me. Once the person realizes this forgiveness is not about them, and it doesn't mean I wipe their slate clean. They need to work out their own slate. And it doesn't mean I don't have feelings. It just means I don't want myself to be locked in to this toxic memory. I want myself to be able to live the best quality of life I can. When you reframe that to say, this is for me, I'm not giving something up. I'm just saying, how can I move past? Then you can even start to move into the place that says, well, what happens to me? It's really hard to let go of my anger. And if it feels like you get so emotionally flooded, talk to someone about it. It could be a rabbi, a mentor, a good friend, a therapist, because the benefits for yourself are so huge. The magnitude of the breadth of physical and emotional benefits are just unbelievable. It's like living a long life and a healthier life that has more sense of satisfaction and less illness. Those are the research benefits of being able to make peace with the story and moving on. So every one of us wants that. If you feel that the anger because of what the person did to you feels too strong, so talk it over. Find how you can do it because it's the most worthy thing that you can do, not because you're righteous, but because you want the benefits. You want the benefits that this can provide for you. And I think that that allows the person to even open the door to say, this is not for their benefit. I want to do it. This is maybe the most important thing I can do for my health. I don't, you know, revenge feels good, but a long and healthy life feels better, right? So once you take it out of the body and into your front mind, I don't have to resolve the situation. I can just kind of move past there, literally. Every measure of health improves. If you can develop a forgiving coping style, so many stress-related disorders are minimized, right? This is something we know. And it's not just an idea. It's things that have been empirically evidenced. That means there's research that shows that on the cardiovascular system, on cancer, on lowering blood pressure. It's unbelievable what this can do for yourself. So, you don't have to walk away from the situation. You accept what happened, maybe understand how and why it happened, and maybe even draw up compassion for the other person. It's so hard to be human. I sometimes also hurt someone. It's hard for me to be human and hold this. It's hard for them to be human. This is what happens. Our common humanity includes flaws across the board. And if we can do that, the mental and physical benefits are so healthy. And if we can't do that, the negative and damaging emotions have that impact on our lives where life becomes shorter and more distressed. So forgiveness is good for you. And I think that would be the key message to take away from us.
So let's talk about alienation for a moment.
Yes.
The saddest part that is going on today is alienation and how sad of a life that people don't sit down to talk things through.
Yes.
I mean, there are years and years and years that families are torn apart. And yes, like you said, everybody is human and we can make mistakes and we can have done things differently. You know, today's day and age, things are done differently, like olden days. But the truth of the matter is, so make newer boundaries, talk things out, explain it. Why alienate? It's just the saddest thing that is going on in Klal Yisrael and worldwide today.
Yeah. Ruchama, I'm so happy you brought this topic up because it really is the most tragic thing that you can imagine when you work with people and you see the pattern of alienation and the pain that it causes in spite of our common humanity. It's almost as if we say, well, you're bad. I need to distance you. I won't take this. I'll cut off from you. And what that means inherently is I'm unwilling to accept that relationships cause pain. And that's part of living. Part of being able to be alive and functioning in the world is to be able to hold disappointments. Jordan Peterson is a well-known therapist, and he mentioned one time on one of his recordings, when you get married and you walk down the aisle and you say, I do, what you're saying in essence is, I do agree that you're the one that's going to make me crazy for the rest of my life, and I'm the one that's going to make you crazy for the rest of your life. And it's kind of accepting that and understanding there's going to be a certain amount of pain inherent in every relationship, and there's also going to be a lot of pleasure. But if I can't tolerate the pain of a relationship, then I'm really cutting myself off from the potential pleasures. And once you have that as the baseline, another important thing, and like we said, your key takeaway is forgiveness is good for you. You're not doing the other person a favor. It's for your quality of life. One of the really interesting things we've learned in family therapy, which is a therapy that comes from a systems perspective. We're not looking intrapsychically, just what happens within the person's mind, but we're looking at what happens within a system and how different members of a system impact on one another. One of the tools that they use to get an understanding in this family systems orientation is called a genogram. And when you do a genogram, what you do is you start charting in a pictorial form who are the parents, the grandparents, the cousins. You do an extended family picture, like an extended family tree, and you start tracking certain patterns. And there are certain patterns like alcoholism or alienation that you will find repeat themselves through the generations. And that's one of the most tragic things about alienation. Sometimes a person says, that's it. I can't accept this. I will not allow this to happen. I'm cutting off from those people without realizing when you do that, I may be able to have a hypothesis of why. I can't prove it, but your children are going to do this to you, or your grandchildren are going to do it to your children, or you're going to cut off from a son-in-law. And we see these repeat patterns in families. So it behooves any person who's even considering remotely alienating and coming to a full cutoff to say, hey, this is toxic for me and my generations. Let me talk to a wise person. Let me figure out how to negotiate what's distressing me about this relationship. But if there's any possible way not to cut off, I don't want to do that. That's poison for me. There are certain situations that we know, like molestation, or there are certain times that really firm boundaries need to be made, and even zero contact. But you want to do that with a therapist who has really plumbed the issue, the depths of it, and has that understanding that says, in this situation, there's nothing else that we could possibly do to maintain some connection in some way that's healthy for all the people involved. So, and it doesn't necessarily need forgiveness as much as understanding for yourself I don't want alienation in my life. How can I navigate this difficult situation and yet keep connected to the people who people my environment? And that's kind of what I think. Think about, talk to someone, think about the long-term costs of alienation. Recognize our common humanity. We all mess up and hurt people sometimes, and do everything you can to bring up compassion both for yourself and for others and for your children and for the other people that this might have an impact on, and try to find a way to keep the door open.
Well, thank you. That's such an important message. And the truth is, we've watched, both you and I have watched, so many families that Lo'aleinu, when somebody gets ill or at the dying bed, then the family shows up suddenly after being alienated for years and years and years. So generational trauma is a learned behavior. Your children will do it to you. Your grandchildren can do it to you. It's a learned behavior. And we all need to deal with forgiveness, being kind to one another, not judging each other poorly. And we want to be judged well by God. And especially now at this time of year, it's not too late to pick up the phone and wish somebody good Shabbos or happy birthday or whatever you want to say to them. Pick up a phone. It doesn't take a lot to fix things. It's more when we break apart that it's damaging so much to yourself, to your family, to your friends, to your loved ones. So now, what do you want to say, your last message to my listeners about alienation, please?
Last message I would say is that alienation starts with the self. If you judge yourself and you can't forgive yourself, you kind of push off parts of yourself, aspects of your personality, the parts of yourself that might be less than optimum, less shiny. It's only when we alienate ourselves from ourselves that we can even think about alienate ourselves from others. And I think forgiveness has to start with yourself, accepting your own humanity, accepting your own limitations. And so forgive yourself, stay connected to every part of yourself, and forgive others and stay connected to others for the most healthy, both emotional and physical, long life. And I just want to wish you all a good and sweet and healthy year.
Amen to you as well. And thank you for always being there for the Mask families. Hope to have you on again soon. I want to wish everyone a very good evening, a beautiful Shabbos. And always remember, hang in, hold on, hug tight. Tonight's show is an honor of all the Chayalim. Bring the hostages home now. Please consider to go online to maskparents.org and donate so that we can continue to do all the mask programs. Thank you and have a good night.
Best wishes for the new year from your friends at Marvid Poultry. For the last 60 years, Marvid Kosher Poultry has been providing the cleanest, finest, and tastiest chickens, turkeys, ducks, and Cornish hens for discriminating kosher customers. Marvid also has the most kosher supervision, including the OU, MK, and Isachtis as well. So start the new year by making sure Marvid is on your family's table. Available at the finest kosher supermarkets. A good yar and a Chag Kosher V'Sameach from Marvid Poultry. Ancient tradition, today's taste.
This is your number one station.